It's just about 9 o'clock straight up at 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. Or for this next hour program, any opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Good morning. It's time now for Talking Animals on KUCI.
If I fall like rain, will you still feel the same? Will you hold me and call out my name? If I'm lost in the crowd, will you shout out loud? Will you take me to the other side of
music by Casey Chambers with a song called Bluebird as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. And streaming live, of course, on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole shebang, the whole enterprise, the whole enchilada, the whole nine yards, the whole, if you got anything else that could slide in there, go ahead. Is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine, home, speaking of animals, of the anteaters. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Absolutely urge you to use that number. Call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. We love, love, love to get calls. You can also instant message us via AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is Talking Animals. Other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com or by way of our website. It's talkinganimals.net. Again, make no mistake, it's .net, folks. So before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another rip-snorting rendition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a pretty spirited balance of those elements when we can, as you can pretty much glean by visiting our, again, nifty website, talkinganimals.net, where just about every show we've ever broadcast, from the beginning, I mean, is archived. So you can see by doing that, or if you've heard the show before, that the heart of the program really is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today our guest is Ted Reingold, creator of Dogster.com and Catster.com, websites that constitute a friendly, fun social network for the humans who live with cats and dogs. You essentially can create a little web page for your canine and or feline friends with pictures and information, likes, dislikes, whether they enjoy long walks on the beach, etc. And there are a bunch of other nifty features to each of the websites, and an award-winning recently in one case as well. So find out all about Dogster.com and Catster.com and much more when Ted Reingold joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. I want to remind you quickly of the phone number to join us in case you have any comments, thoughts, or things you'd like to add, update us on related to the news, or just cool things that you're aware of that we should be aware of. It's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So, turning now to interesting and or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight. And with any luck, once in a blue moon this actually happens, to get your comments on and discuss. So, we also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in your calendar. So, I think you know what comes next, right? Let's talk turkey, as it were. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department, let's jump in. Why wait? Starting off with an international story, indeed. No fun, but international nonetheless. Canada has given the go-ahead for what is expected to be one of the biggest seal hunts in the country for decades. The government says the hunt is now more humane and that more than 300,000 seals can be killed this year. The seal population is reaching record levels as commercial fish stocks are vanishing, the authorities say. Animal rights campaigners who say the hunt is cruel have called for a boycott of Canadian seafood before the hunt, which is due to start March 29, as in tomorrow. This two-month hunt takes place on ice floes off the Atlantic coast where the seals give birth. The Department of Fisheries and Oceans said in a statement Canada's seal population was healthy and abundant. Quote, the harp seal herd, the most important seal herd for this industry, is estimated at around 5 million animals, nearly the highest level ever recorded, and almost triple what it was in the 1970s. Large-scale hunting will be allowed to continue until the numbers fall to under 4 million. One official told the AFP news agency, quote, we have to do our job responsibly. We're looking at the middle ground, taking into account conservation and the economic needs of the region. But anti-hunt activists who say many animals are skinned alive and die in agony say they will press ahead with the boycott. Quote, I think that they, meaning the Canadian government, are feeling the heat. They can see the really serious implication of going ahead with the hunt this year, said Pat Reagan of the Humane Society of the United States. We're going to be encouraging consumers to enter in a dialogue with their grocery stores and their restaurants and say, please don't serve Canadian seafood, or I won't buy Canadian seafood until this hunt is over, she told Reuters news agency. The seal hunt in Newfoundland and Labrador went into decline some 25 years ago after images of hunters clubbing infant seals horrified TV viewers across the world. Indeed. Probably saw or heard or read about this one. At least 7 children in Orlando, Florida have been diagnosed with serious cases of kidney failure. Guess we could turn the music down a touch, couldn't we? What the heck? And investigators are trying to figure out if their illnesses are linked to local petting zoos, the Orlando Sentinel reported Thursday. Officials are checking to see if the children were sickened by bacteria that can be found in animal feces. Sources other than petting zoos are also being investigated, officials told the newspaper, including exposure to contaminated food or beverages. A local station places the number of children in Florida who have recently contracted kidney-harming bacteria at 9. And health officials are concerned that number could climb. The children have been diagnosed with a rare disorder called hemolytic uremic syndrome, which causes the kidneys to malfunction. At least 5 of the 7 victims are listed in critical condition at area hospitals, with 1 child in dialysis, the Sentinel said. They're also being treated with intravenous liquids and, in some cases, blood transfusions. The hospitalized children all touched animals recently at area fairs, including the Central Florida Fair in Orlando and the Florida Strawberry Festival in Plant City between March 3rd and 13th. Health officials said they may have been exposed to the bacteria through the animal's feces. And it goes on from there. So, at a lot of those petting zoos, they have really good thorough, at least the opportunity for really good thorough hand washing, which that may not be the sole cause, obviously, of this, but always, 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 if you're at a petting zoo, bring your own Purell or whatever if they don't have that stuff. And if they do, just scrub like a maniac. All right, continue with our animal news here. Bob Barker has donated $1 million to Northwestern University's School of Law to endow a course on animal rights law. The Bob Barker Endowment Fund for the Study of Animal Rights Law will allow students to earn credits on topics such as how humans interact with and use animals, species protection, and international wildlife law, the school announced Tuesday. Barker, the host of The Price is Right and a longtime animal rights activist, has given similar funds in recent years to law schools at Duke, Stanford, Columbia, and UCLA. We intend to train a growing number of law students in this area of law in the hope that they will ultimately lead national effort to make it illegal to brutalize and exploit these helpless creatures, Barker said. Law school students should expect to deal with an animal law issue at some point in their careers, law school dean David Van Zandt said. Experimental animal cloning is an example of intellectual property context where animal law issues have emerged, he added. All right, time now for our mid-news animal quiz. Once again this week, it's going to be true-false. The way it works, if you don't already know, is you listen to the quiz question. If you know the answer, you pick up the phone, you dial 949-824-5824, or looking at your keypad differently and yet the same, 949-UCI-KUCI. And if you're the first person to call in with the correct answer, you win a prize. What kind of prize, you might ask, if you've never listened to the show? Well, he said, answering in some sort of bizarre dialogue with himself, they would range from the DVD by Triumph Insult Comic Dog to a Talking Animals t-shirt, a Talking Animals sweatshirt, a Talking Animals coffee mug. We've got books, including Meatless Meals for Working People, the Shirley MacLaine book Out on a Leash, co-written by her dog. We've got CDs, including a PETA thing, I don't know if I remember the name, Liberation, about 10 or 12 cool bands that have all contributed to the PETA fundraising CD that we have. We've got t-shirts from animal organizations, we've got cat toys, dog collars, we've got many other things. All right, so keep that in mind not only now when you're playing the quiz question, but later, towards the end of the show, when we do Name That Animal Tune, because the same prizes are available for the choosing if you are the winner, of course. All right, so, having over-explained that, let's jump right in. This is our true or false question. First person to call with the correct answer gets their choice of those prizes. Further over-explaining. Here we go. Bumblebees use 21 muscles to sting. True or false? Bumblebees use 21 muscles to sting. True or false? All right, continuing now our people ponder that enchanting question. This was kind of a rough Easter weekend story to see locally, but again, as many of the local stories that we select hopefully have larger implications. Well, looks like somebody's calling in. Let's see if they might know the answer to this quiz question. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI. It's Talking Animals. Do you have an answer, I guess? Hello? Okay, too bad. All right. Well, maybe they'll call back. There's no real cutoff point to answer that question, so it could come at any moment, although ideally it'd be sooner rather than later. But anyway, all right, so, as I was saying, a lot of our local stories are selected because they might have, and should have, actually, larger implications. This might be one of those. It starts off, this may be the Easter season, but it's hardly the best of times for bunny rabbits in South Orange County. The Mission Viejo City Council has given permission for one gated community to have rabbits shot on site. Many residents in the Costa del Sol retirement community, frustrated for years by the abundance of rabbits gnawing on native shrubs and plants and doing their bunny business on their lawns, want to thin the ranks. They want an exterminator with a pellet gun to take aim at the unwanted wildlife in the wee hours of the morning. Mission Viejo banned bunny hunting with pellet guns in 1997, adopting a State Department of Fish and Game regulation that prohibits the use of firearms to ward off animals unless crops are at stake. For the next 5 years, residents in the 1900 home Costa del Sol relied on the Fashinon. Sorry, I probably don't have that. See, that's the beauty of pre-reading some of these things, is you know you're going to hit some kind of odd term for a poison, but I didn't do that. Anyways, it is a poison to control the bunny population and traps that would allow the rabbits to be released elsewhere. Then in 2001, state officials banned the poison's use in urban settings. Costa del Sol homeowners pushed for state legislation in 2004 allowing property owners to protect their yards from depredating animals with whatever means necessary. The bill's founder, but the state attorney general ruled 11 months ago that rabbits could be exterminated with pellet guns if they harmed shrubbery. In July, Fish and Game adopted the Attorney General's opinion, paving the way for the Mission Viejo City Council to grant a variance to the city's firearm ordinance earlier this week. The council voted unanimously to give the Costa del Sol Homeowners Association permission to hire a licensed pest control professional to trim the rabbit population with a pellet gun from 1 to 5 a.m. Thoughts? Comments? Somebody's calling in. Maybe with thoughts, comments. Maybe with a guess on the quiz question. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI. It's Talking Animals. Okay. Well, lots of phone action, none of which apparently is intended actually to participate in the show. Excellent. Okay, I thought this was really interesting, not just because I'm an elephant freak, but well beyond that. And this popped up in a lot of different places. It's a pretty significant study. I took this actually from Newsday. For a bored elephant, bored adolescent elephant no less, the call of the wild can sound much like a truck. In a new study, researchers described surprising evidence for vocal learning and imitation by an orphaned 10-year-old African savanna elephant named Malaka, who mimicked the sound of trucks rumbling near her enclosure in Kenya. Joyce Poole, research director for the Nairobi-based Amboseli Elephant Research Project, says she didn't believe Malaka, who has since died, was calling out to the trucks. Rather, her nighttime vocalizing, perhaps akin to a bored teenager humming to herself, supports the idea that elephants can use vocal mimicry and learning to maintain connections with their relatives. Researchers previously believed that the ability was limited only to humans and a few animals, such as parrots, songbirds, harbor seals, bottlenose dolphins, and killer whales. Quote, elephants live in a very fluid society. They keep close social bonds with their mothers and sisters and separate and reunite on a constant basis, communicating over long distances, Poole said. The ability to imitate, learn, and hone a particular vocal call then could help elephants stay in touch. And once they learn, Poole said, they may be primed to imitate more meaningless things like trucks or lawnmowers. Lawnmowers? An elephant named Benny, now living in Botswana, reportedly began humming after caretakers mowed the grass around his enclosure, Poole said. In today's study, published in the journal Nature, Poole and her co-authors cite both Malaka and Kalimaro, a male elephant who has all but abandoned the wide-ranging calls of his African savanna brethren in favor of the chirping typical of Asian elephants. While a resident of the Basel Zoo in Switzerland, he lived for 18 years with two female Asian elephants. Stephanie Watwood, a postdoctoral biologist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, and a study co-author, said similar sounds can help individuals recognize each other, especially if a group splits up into new ones. It's kind of like, why does everyone on a soccer team wear the same jersey? Recognize all of them, but it just makes it easier, she said. And one famous example of vocal learning, a harbor seal at the New England Aquarium learned phrases like, hello there, and get out of here, complete with a Boston accent. All right, I had to work that in. It's a long... I wouldn't have read that much if it didn't have that payoff. Okay. So maybe time for one more story, maybe a little more, and then I'm going to step into the comedy corner and then welcome our guest, Ted Reingold. Octopuses, known for using camouflage to avoid predators, have been observed apparently trying to sneak away by walking on two arms while pretending to be a bunch of algae. Two kinds of octopus were seen to use different ways of walking along the seafloor, researchers report in today's issue of the journal Science. The movements were discovered by Christine L. Hufford of UC Berkeley, who was studying underwater videotapes of the animals as part of a robotics project. Octopuses trying to avoid being eaten usually hold still to camouflage themselves. But by walking on two arms, these two types were able to move quickly while using their other arms to disguise themselves. Two individuals of the O. marginatus species, or subspecies, from Indonesia wrapped six arms around themselves, looking like a coconut on the sea floor. Then they used the two rear arms to move backward. Huh? Smart, right? Pretty darn good. Yeah. All right, so I think that's probably all we're going to have time for today. But if there are ever any news stories, maybe we'll have time to come back to a couple of them later in the show. Who knows? Either way, if there are ever any news stories or announcements of events you'd like to bring to our attention, please email us, talkinganimals@aol.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with any comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, animal comedy bits, any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@aol.com. And also want to remind you again about our website. It's talkinganimals.net. And check it out, if you will. Sign up for the email list. We can keep you posting on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of just about every show we've ever done since we launched this baby. Sorted photographs and articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces, and more. So please stop by and take a look around the site again. It's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step in the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which, as always, of course, involves animal-oriented comedy. But this week I thought, let's do something a little off the beaten path, shall we? All right, so this is Soupy Sales with another little tune that you might remember if you're really old, called The Mouse, on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI. Soupy Sales, come on, The Mouse. What do you want? That's taken from his album Soupy Sales. Says Do the Mouse, no less. Comedy Corner, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're indeed listening to Talking Animals at KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, of course, are listening that very way. And some of you, if you know what's good for you, probably arrived through our small website, talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed in Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. All right, earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Ted Reingold, creator, top dog, you might even say, of, as he would say, of Dogster.com and Tatster.com, websites that sort of constitute a friendly, fun social network for the humans who live with cats and dogs, and you can basically kind of create a little web page for your canine and or feline friends, and there's pictures and info, likes and dislikes, and a bunch of other things, some cool features that we'll find out more about. So with that in mind, let's welcome Ted Reingold to Talking Animals. Are you there, Ted?
Yeah, I'm here, Duncan. Thanks.
Cool. Well, you can obviously do a much better job describing Dogster and Catster.com than I just did, probably. But before we get into talking about the sites themselves, let's delve in a little bit to your background. First, maybe you could just tell us about your history with the online world, the dot-com world, et cetera, and then we'll kind of proceed from there.
Okay, sounds great. First off, Duncan, thanks so much for having me on the show. It's great getting to talk like this.
Cool.
I've been making websites or web applications, which is more like what Dogster and Catster are, for about 8 years now, and I worked for a bunch of different companies, and in 2002 I started my own web production company, and web work is great because it's the kind of thing that you learn as you go. There's always someone above you who wants to get rid of a task they don't like, so there's always people willing to teach you. So I just kind of kept teaching myself along the way, maybe a class or two, and I got to do some really neat stuff. Then when I went on my own, I found it was really hard to get serious levels of work, so I was doing real entry-level web work, which was fine with me because I got to be my own boss. And after a while, I started realizing that there could be a really neat site that I could make on my own. And so that's where I got motivated to start Dogster and Catster.
And with that in mind then, Ted, were you a kind of a long-time, animal lover? Is that part of why, when you said, well, okay, I've learned this, I've designed all these applications and sites, and now I want to do this, I assume that part of what steered you in that direction is some kind of love or passion for animals.
Yeah, absolutely. The irony of... you could say about this is that one of the reasons I made Dogster and Catster was because my wife and I live in a small apartment in San Francisco and we can't have a dog.
Oh, and does that also rule out cats, or is it just a...
Well, she's allergic to cats.
Ah, wow,
rules
all right.
Out cats.
Yikes, okay.
I know. But I noticed that my wife would come home from work every day and she would be going to rescue sites to look at dogs and cats and dream about taking them home, and it would be, kind of depressing for her to see that she couldn't rescue this dog and nor could she have one of our own. And so I thought, well, that could be pretty neat. I could make a site where people could post photos of their dogs, and then we could just look at them. So it was kind of self-motivated,
mm-hmm.
in a way.
So it's kind of like, hey, I can't have these animals actually live with us for one reason or another, so let's do the next best thing, sort of having virtual animals living with us in great numbers, I guess, really.
Yeah, it kind of feels like I have 95,000 cats and dogs now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, so maybe let's get a bit of a chronology. So when you're sort of realizing this, and so when did you start putting together, because Dogster came first, when did you kind of start saying, okay, you know what, I have this idea, let's go, and then when was Dogster?
It probably took about 6 to 8 months to get it from the first idea to actually being live where people could use it, since it was a thing I'd have to do in the nights and weekends.
So you were doing it on the side, obviously, in addition to your sort of paying a day job, as it were.
Yeah, exactly.
Because otherwise I would have guessed that with the kind of expertise you had developed by then, that it wouldn't have taken that long to create it. But it sounds like between not having a lot of time, and probably there were some things that you were letting kind of, you know, marinate in your noggin about what form it should really take and what it should offer.
And, and that's really important. That's not the kind of thing you can... As it turns out, you can't just sit down and be like, well, this is what I want to offer. It took a lot of iterations to really see how would people want to share their information and what's the easiest way for them to share it and what's the intuitive and what is the nice way to display it. And so once you get that going, you really have a lot of experience under your belt. But before it gets started... Yeah, it takes a lot of time to really feel it out right.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions and stuff to grapple with. Because it sounded like from the initial thing that you described as like, hey, well, we can't really have a dog here, and my wife's allergic to cats, so let's do something, you know, with a site or an application. But then it sounded like it kind of broadened out, like, okay, what would appeal to other people? How could I help them?
Yeah, so, or even better, it broadened out in what would be more fun for other people.
Yeah, it is really fun.
What would make people laugh?
And is the idea at that point when you were kind of like at that point in the path really of getting ready to create or launch Dogster.com, was it like, would the idea be that, hey, this would just be a fun way for people to share pictures and information about their dog because people, you know, that have animals that live with them are passionate, if not, you know, borderline nutty about those animals. So was it just like, this would be a cool way for people just to say, well, here's our dog or dogs, and here's what's kind of neat or interesting about them or quirky about them. Is that, and then just the idea that people would just start sharing that back and forth, was that kind of, as it started to kind of take shape, what the kind of driving idea was, or...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I must admit there was also a slight profit motivation. It's pretty small, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because, I mean,
doing contractual web work or any type of contractor knows that paychecks come in very irregularly.
Sure.
And so I thought, geez, if I can make this fun site and people had a lot of fun with it, I could probably find very, very dog-friendly boutiques entities that would want to advertise on it, and maybe I could make $250 to $500 a month and banner ads that would just so every month I could have a little bit of guaranteed income.
Sure.
But the funny thing was is that once it got started and people enjoyed using it so much, all of a sudden I had 50 emails to answer a day. All of a sudden I had a laundry list of new features people wanted to add, and sometimes bugs would pop up because of the heavy usage. And what I thought would be just a little site that I could have running in the background became 4 to 6 hours in my day.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's the thing. I mean, and for people who haven't had a chance to go there, but again, it's simply Dogster.com, or it's a sister site or brother site is Catster.com, and you can go right now if you're listening online and check it out.
Yeah,
But the thing,
it's just a ton of fun. You can just upload your photos, and when you join up, people will invite you to be dog friends or cat friends, and heck, you can even leave a diary. It's neat. You got the whole web page, and you can send it to your friends and show off your kitty, your doggy.
And we should let people know that while there are those, those ads and banners and sponsored links or whatever from Google, that to participate, it's free. I mean, it's not only really fun, it's free. And you can, next thing you know, you've got like a little web page for your one or more animals that live with you. And it's really, really cool. And I think just to kind of give a bit of a context to this from a different angle, we might want to tell people that if I'm not mistaken, Ted, the Dogster.com launched in January 2004, so we're a little over a year, 14 months or so, is that?
Yes.
Yeah. And so at this point, at least the last time I checked, so far there are about 70,000 or so dogs participating or on Dogster.com, and just the little stats that they provide, which are kind of neat and fun. I mean, there's about 184 or so when I looked, new dogs being added a day, and the day I looked, almost 200 were added the previous day, and so I mean, again, people are really getting into it, and it's really, really fun. And pretty soon, you're sort of, you're connected to these people and their dogs and or cats, as case may be.
Yeah, it's fun. We made it to be a really fun and safe place, as you well surmised in the beginning. And part of that, people wanted to be able to message each other, and so it was really fun. We made a way for people to message each other, but you don't share your name, you don't share your email. 99% of the time, people are just talking about the pictures they see or the stories they read about the other person's dogs. And so it's great. It's like being at the dog park. You can have a very nice, interesting conversation about each other's pets.
Yeah.
But you're not risking any of that trouble on the internet or...
Right.
And we're not enticing people or encouraging them to share that information. So it's just all talking about the pet.
And Ted, let's say, just again for people who either A, may not be familiar with the sites yet, or B, may not be particularly, web savvy or whatever. So let's say that I wanted to put our cat Otis on Catcher.com today. Like, just briefly, at least walk us through how I would actually get Otis or his picture or information about him up on Catcher.com.
Sure. It's real easy. If you go to Catster.com,
mm-hmm.
and you'll need to create an account, so you'll
mm-hmm.
need to register.
Mm-hmm.
And there you'll put in your human information,
okay.
A name, an email address, and there's some other optional information you can give if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get an email confirming your account, and then you can follow a link in that back to Catster,
mm-hmm.
and then you can add a cat. There's a big button next to register. It says add a cat.
Yeah.
And you'll be prompted to fill in all types of profile information, their name, their breed, their special skills, their
mm-hmm.
peculiar traits. And those are all you can fill in, as many or as few as you want. And then when you submit those, you'll be prompted to upload a photo. And sometimes this is the hardest thing for people.
The photo part?
Yeah, photo part. Because
mm-hmm.
a camera takes photos that are made so you could print that photo on a billboard or something. They're huge. They store a giant amount of memory.
Yeah.
But for the web, you want really small photos. So what we try and do is convert any image as best we can. So you just browse to your hard drive to find a photo of your cat
mm-hmm.
and upload it. And usually it goes up in the first try. And then you can upload up to 9 more photos, and you can, then you'll see everything that's there. You can start a diary, you can message, you can send this new web page to all your friends. So
yeah, it's really, really cool. And so it is pretty, it's just step by step, it's pretty easy again.
Yeah,
you don't have to be tech, a savvy guy or gal or whatever.
It's funny, after working in so many companies and having these mandates about how you have to tell an error is an error, and it's very strict, and everything's very kind of uptight. It's such a pleasure to, when there's an error, we say something like, meow, meow, there
right.
was a little error.
Yeah.
And we really try and help people figure out exactly how to fix it.
Yeah, it's very gentle. And while we're on this, though, what's not allowed? Like, I know there's certain things that people aren't really, ideally supposed to do or put on. There's always, I'm sure somebody's probably trying to beat the system or just be a jokester or a prankster of some kind. Maybe you could give us an example or do something, some nutty rule breaking of some kind.
So, there's a lot of things people can do on the internet. And when we made Dogster and Catster, we thought, let's just make this a place where it's just about safety and fun.
Yeah.
And if people want to get their news or harsh realities, or they can go to other places.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you come to Dogster, it's always just going to be nice. You're just
mm-hmm.
going to hear people saying positive things and sharing positive comments. So if you put up a picture of a stuffed animal, it's best if they're all real animals, because that encourages the quality of everything. So
yeah.
What we do is we let the community really decide what is inappropriate.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of gray lines, and when we get 3 complaints from the users about one particular thing, then that pretty much deems to us that is over the line.
Right, yeah.
So we don't allow marketing, we don't allow fake pets, we don't allow mean words or, angry sentiment.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we can just snip it out.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't even know it's a bad word. I know that they're adults, and they just forget that maybe that word that they use actually isn't appropriate for a 10-year-old. So we just snip it out. And
yeah.
We don't really say anything It's
It's just really gentle. I mean, like where you can look at people's, stuff. There's a thing at the bottom. Is there anything inappropriate in this entry? And if so, tell Dogster. And like you say, then if you hear from people and it starts to be a few, then and again, some people may not mean it. I'm sure some people are, just a little, jerky or whatever, and they did mean it. But either way, that thing's not going to be sitting there for too long if it's just not right for, like you say, because kids and others, can and should go there. It's a really cool, fun, friendly, gentle site.
And once people really started joining the site originally and they started responding with really great photos and really sweet stories, we just thought this is just too magical to let the community lose that vibe.
Yeah.
So we get a little strict sometimes.
Sure. Well, and I think only for protecting that kind of nice vibe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And really, Ted, kind of speaking of sort of whether it's a bonus or maybe you attended it from the get-go, one element of the site that, or both sites really, that's really cool, and in fact, in a weird way, is how I first learned about it, is that there a lot of people post animal photos and info on the sites in the hopes that animal will be adopted.
Yeah, and we want to support that more in the future. We're going to put a adoption or rescue of the week on the homepage. And we'll try and make sure that animal within that 7-day period finds a new home.
Yeah, it's so cool because actually a DJ here was trying to adopt out a cat that kind of, wandered in her house, and she had cats and they weren't getting along and whatever, so she had to adopt this one. So she asked me to mention it on the show, but she also gave me the link to Caster.com where she had already put photos and info, and I thought, wow, this is really cool. And ultimately she, I think adopted it, not necessarily through Caster.com because somebody else came along, but I just thought, wow, that is such a great resource because, you hear about cats or you see a flyer and it's like, okay, there's kind of a half-baked picture. But here it's like, here's a bunch of pictures of that cat. It's what they kind of like or what their personality is or what their background is. And you really get a sense of that cat or that dog that you might well want to adopt.
Yeah, and they can... for anyone listening that's interested, on the website there's a section called Adopt Me, which is on the left side, and that's where you can see all the animals that need a new home, or you can go into the advanced search and type in your hometown and a little more specific about the pet you're looking for. There aren't all that many adoptions listed,
sure.
So people sometimes get frustrated about why they can't find the Chihuahua in Manitoba, Canada.
Sure.
But
that'll happen. I imagine that's something that over time is
so
more...
That's why we really want to promote that more on the homepage.
Absolutely. And, this same DJ actually wanted me to ask you, because you mentioned earlier when sort of describing some of the cool features of the sites, is that, you can have, friends, on dogs, or, there can be a dog and maybe, you want to be in touch with that other dog or that other dog's human or whatever. Her question: why can't cats and dogs be friends? Why can't they cross sites?
It's funny. I gotten that question about 4 times in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
I'll just come clean and admit that the reason they can't be is because of a bug. And I sat down a couple about a week ago to fix that bug, and I realized it's actually so much more complicated. But it's just really an oversight.
Okay, so it's like a technical or technological thing? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah, it's a complicated technical issue.
Yeah,
but,
it sounds like it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, at least we've asked, and but also too, there are new kind of things and features being added. Like I noticed the thing on both sites about a whole section for helping track down pet friendly hotels, for example, which I thought was really really cool.
There's actually just two of us coding this, and one person helping with other. Actually, there's someone who helps with the emails, and there's someone who helps with design. There's more than just two of us.
Yeah.
We just love how happy this community is with this website.
Yeah.
So we put out classifieds a couple months ago, and now anyone can post the service, and these are free. You can post the service or product in a region, because we have a hard time supporting regional items. So groomers and vets and pet product people are posting all over the place in that now. And we put up We put up Cats to Travel because two of us had worked in the travel industry, online travel industry, for a while.
Yeah.
And we heard a lot of questions. Where can I find a good hotel in Dallas? And so we plugged into the back of the hotel booking system, and we only select hotels that are dog and cat friendly.
That's so cool. Yeah, in fact, didn't your background include what became Travelocity
at
one point?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's where me and my technical partner met, was that it's the company before that, Preview Travel.
Right. Cool.
And we've got, I'm trying to think of other new features. Big ones. We've got, we're so excited about features coming up. We have forums. And forums are really simple and common on a lot of sites, and actually really popular with pet users, from I can tell from our referrer links.
Mm-hmm.
But we really wanted to do them right. We didn't want to just put in some static listings. So we are going to be releasing them in a couple weeks, and there'll be the pet photos on every page, and you'll be able to see that animal's friends. And
oh wow! So things will be kind of more. There'll be more sort of mixing, more crossing.
Yeah,
of, oh,
exactly.
Cool.
They'll be really integrated into.
Oh, great!
And after that, we've got a whole bunch of subscription features. We've had a lot of users say, "I would even pay you if I could add more photos," or things that cost a lot for us to produce.
Yeah.
So. So we got a whole bunch of new features, and it'll be really expensive, a couple dollars a month or something.
And will that be for everybody, or will people have sort of the option to do it the way they do it now, and then if you want kind of more like, say, the premium version of Dog Sportcaster,
exactly.
you then you could pay a few
exactly.
bucks more. Okay, cool.
And the site as it is now will remain exactly the same. And we'll also continue to add new features
sure.
that are free.
Yeah.
Just some set of them. And so for the regular user, if they don't want to go with the subscription level, they won't notice a difference at all about their page or about their ability to use the site.
Sure, that's cool. And again, we should tell people, too, that haven't had a chance to visit, that among the things that are there now are like, you know, either Dog of the Week or Cat of the Week, the Barking Dog News and a similar thing. I mean, so there's info and I think, you know, like advice columns. I mean, really, there's a bunch of neat stuff. And again, throughout, though, the whole tone is very fun and gentle.
So that's so great. That's what you think. Because that's just what we... That's what we strive to do.
That's cool. And it sounds like, too, that people are recognizing this on a larger level. I mean, tell us a little bit, if you will, about the People's Choice Award at South by Southwest recently.
Oh, that was really neat. We were nominated for a web award mm-hmm. in the community category. And South by Southwest Interactive is a very, important too lofty a word. But it's a really significant conference for people doing projects just like this.
Sure.
Really interactive, kind of pushing the boundaries and of web possibilities. And there were 80 sites nominated for awards, and they have a single People's Choice Award. And the People's Choice Award is determined by people emailing in their votes. And so we let the Dogster and Caster community know that we were up. And we're like, let's show the whole world that we are the best community in the world. And lo and behold, we got the most votes. And that was just...
That's so cool.
That was just so much better than even winning the community, the actual award we were up for, because it was just such a pleasure to go and back and tell the members that, like, you really are the best.
That's so cool because, you know, again, I mean, I would think a lot of those same sites would have the same kind of resources that you guys have about, like, hey, we're up for this, and a huge,
yeah.
you know, email
yeah.
blast, whatever.
Yeah.
So to me, then it's
yeah.
more about how people actually feel about what you do rather than, hey, okay, I got an email blast from such and such, I better go vote or go check in with South by Southwest. I mean, people obviously felt a whole nother level of passion, affection,
really,
or whatever.
Really, I've never had the pleasure of working on a web project that is just so appreciated.
Yeah,
I get emails every day that say just say thank you.
Yeah, that's
you know,
so
I
great.
I also get emails that say things less than thank you, but
yeah, no, but still, I mean, obviously, I mean, this is really clear.
Yeah,
it's really connected
it's
with people.
It's really neat,
yeah.
And there's nothing else I'd rather be doing right now than making more features and fun stuff. stuff for the people who really enjoy this.
And Ted, we're probably just about near the end of our time, but how at this point, given how this has really kind of taken off, and how do you kind of divide your time? I mean, I assume you're still working on those other sites, applications.
Really not.
That, no?
I just can't.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of caught in a trap in the middle here where I'm giving up my paying work and I am working full time on something which isn't really paying. But
yeah.
I'm pretty darn sure it's going to work out, and it's just too big a potential to not just go for it whole hog.
Right, and again, if you're liking it that much and you're following your passion, and again, you've already got some signs along the way, including South by Southwest thing, and just the sheer number of people that, I mean, Catsker,
yeah.
I think, what, August, or it was just several months later.
Yeah, Catsker was August.
And there's already, 25,000, 26,000 cats there. I mean, so, again, you're seeing that, you know, this is a cool thing. People are responding. And, you know, you're already finding little ways where people can pay a few bucks. You can make a few more bucks, but you're not forcing people to do that. So, you know, nothing wrong ever with sort of following your passion. And it sounds like it's going to be great, and it already is. So, good for you, man. Well, we're just about at the end of our time, Ted, but thank you so much for joining us again.
Duncan, it was quite a pleasure.
Cool. Well, we just want to remind people, it's simple. Dogster.com or Catster.com, and of course you can get from one or the other easily. Even if friends can't be in touch with each other.
Anyone can register. Yeah. You don't even need to have a pet to register.
Yeah.
And so you can save your favorites to your corral, and you can do all other kinds of things without even having a dog. A lot of people join up because they're looking for a dog, or they're just having a dog or a cat.
Hell, you don't even have to have a dog to create the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well said.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ted. Well, thank you so much. Good luck, and we'll kind of keep in touch, and we'll hopefully have it on again when there's a whole other, cool story about the
site. We'll keep you updated, Duncan.
Awesome. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, Ted Reingold. It's Dogster.com, Catster.com. Really fun sites. I think we've hopefully communicated that more than adequately. So check them out, and, get your dog and or cat up there, and I think you'll have a blast. All right? So anyways, I'm Duncan Stretcher. I'm listening to Talking Animals on KUCI in Irvine, 88.9 FM. Streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. It's time to play Name That Animal Tune. Again, this is pretty much like any version of that tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. So I'll play a snippet of this little number, and if you're the first person to call in and correctly identify the song, there will be a prize. One of those prizes we mentioned earlier in the show when we were doing our little news quiz. All right, so we selected this one kind of as a nod of sorts to Ted and Dogster.com. Okay, so let's get started. It's Name the Animal Tune on Talking Animals here on KUCI.
Bright red Georgia clay, and how it stuck to the tires after the summer rain.
Can you name the sandal tune yet? All right, well, when we get to the chorus, my guess is you'll have a better shot at it. All right, hang tight.
Oh, how I wish we were back on the road again. Me and you and a dog named Boo, traveling and living off the land.
Can you name the animal tune now? Sort of like Who's Buried in Grant's Tomb, is it not? Oh, we have a caller. Let's see. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI.
Is it a dog named Boo?
Well, that's most of the title.
Is it me and you and a dog named Boo?
Yay! Okay, congratulations. That is exactly right. What's your name?
Harriet.
Harriet, where are you calling from, Harriet?
Anaheim.
Awesome. Do you have any animals that live with you?
Yes, we do. We have a cat named Doris.
Cat named Doris?
Yeah.
Cool. Now, maybe will Doris want to go on Catster.com?
She sure will.
Cool. Wasn't that neat, the whole Catster.com, Dogster.com thing?
It was very interesting.
And which prize do you think you would like to select?
Something for Doris.
All right. So we'll figure out something cat-related. You email us at talkinganimals@aol.com, Harriet, and we'll figure out a good prize, and we will get it off to you. And thanks so much for playing and for listening to Talking Animals.
Thank you. Great show.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
All right. That's how it is. It's as simple as that. Harriet from... was she from Anaheim? I think she was. Doesn't really matter where she's from except when I mail out for a prize. But that's very cool. So, see? It couldn't be more... someone else calling in a guess? Okay, it's the first person to Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI. All right, no problem. We're cool. All right. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. Want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. Want to again thank our guest, Ted Reingold. The websites are... This is bordering on who's writing Grant's tomb as well at this point. But anyways, dogster.com and catster.com. Check them out. It's really, really fun. You'll have a blast. Just looking at the stuff. But if you have animals, or even if you don't, as Ted points out, you might want to jump in and join those communities. Really, really fun, really nice. And again, just kind of a cool, gentle vibe, which is great. So I also want to thank you all for listening, for the phone calls we received. Congratulations again to Harriet. By the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m. we offer Counterspin, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday, folks. My goodness. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows like this each weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. And again, I want to urge you to check out our website, talkinganimals.net. When you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. Also, I encourage you to email us with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics. Got a really great suggestion, for example, last week from a longtime loyal listener about pet nutrition, which I thought was great. And of course, you know, I don't know why I hadn't really thought of it yet, but again, that's the beauty of getting suggestions from listeners. So, and I think it's such a big, sprawling, fantastic topic that I'm sure we're going to try to come at it, you know, from a couple at least different angles spread out over two or three different shows. So again, if you have any ideas of topics that we haven't covered or haven't covered well enough or thoroughly enough, email us those, talkinganimals@AOL.com. And maybe you have an idea about an animal song or an animal comedy bit or a news story, or maybe there's an event that your group or friends or whatever putting on that's animal-related, a fundraiser, benefit, whatever. All those can be emailed, talkinganimals@AOL.com. So I really look forward to hearing from you. And again, you know, suggestions of all kinds, really, really welcome and much appreciated. So please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease coming right up here on KUCI. That's, of course, his great, great blues show. KUCI. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're closing things out here with an animal-related tune, which should roll nicely into Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. And again, one more nod, I suppose, of sorts to Ted Reingold and Dogster. This is Bill Doggett and his combo, no less, with Big Dog Blues, Part 1 on KUCI. We'll catch you next week on Talking Animals.
Now, this is a soul song. This is a soul song, and I want to dedicate it to all the soul folks out there. And this is the memory of an old friend of mine. We used to sing this together. His name was Pop Staple. Y'all remember Pop. Y'all remember Pop. We want to say, and it was dedicated to all the soul folks everywhere, because this is our song. The soul song simply says, "Wax up."
If you disrespect everybody that you're running to, how in the world do you think everybody's gonna respect you?
See,
if you don't give a heck about the man with the Bible in it, no, just get out the way and let the gentleman do his thing. You see, kind of gentleman that wants everything your way. Well, take the sheet off your face, boy. It's a brand new day.
Help me sing it, y'all. Come on.
Respect yourself. Respect yourself.
Respect yourself.
Respect yourself.
Jeff's going to be here momentarily with the blues disease, so do not fret, all right? We'll be all right.
Two, one, two.